We started the Gemara yesterday with a stira that Abaye asked Rava regarding the Din Meitav. On the one hand, we have the pasuk by Shem Regel that the Torah requires tashumin in the form of Meitav. And then we have the other pasuk by Bor, where the Torah speaks about kesef yashiv with va'alav and v'marbe, even shava kesef and even subin. So the way Rashi understood the kasha, if you see you can pay subin, then obviously you don't have to pay Meitav. We saw the Rach had a little bit of different understanding of the kasha, that the kasha was from shava kesef itself, which shows that the person himself who's paying can dictate how to pay, and here you have the din meitav, which means the Torah sets the standard. Either way, the Gemara gives the teretz initially, lo kasha kan midaito kan bal korcho. Again, we went through Rashi versus the Rach. According to Rashi, the point is that once you get to Beis Din, Bar Korcho means that he's not paying willingly, you have to go to Beis Din. Atrechei le-Beidina, once it goes to Beis Din, then the halacha meitav sets in. If he's paying midaito, before going to Beis Din, then he can pay with subin. You don't have to pay meitav. According to the Rach, the point is not atrechei le-Beidina, the point is that Beis Din is extracting payment Bar Korcho. And that's when the standard is Meitav, but if it's not getting to that point, then he can set the standard. Okay, that's the teretz of the Gemara. But the Gemara originally wants to suggest a support to this distinction from the fact that it says Yishalim in the Pasuk, and Yishalim would mean Bal Karcho, so the din of Meitav, that the Torah says Yishalim, that is the case of Bal Karcho. But Abaye asks, that's not correct, because if it would say Yishulam, that would make sense to mean Bal Karcho. Yishulam is against his will. But Yishalem means midaito. Just in response to Shmuel's diuk, that Rashi maybe is Sosa himself, Rashi initially points out that Bal Karcho means you got to Beis Din, and later Rashi says Yishulam, Beis Din Yordu in a chasav. Sounds like it's more than just getting to Beis Din, it's actually extracting payments. I was thinking it's not really a kasha because Rashi's going on the Yishulam. In other words, miksev Yishulam, were to say Yishulam, that would mean not just that we got to the threshold of Beis Din, but it's that Beis Din is mamish taking the payment. So it's not a stira to Rashi before. Rashi's saying pshat in the Gemara. In terms of the distinction itself, midaito bar karcho, the distinction, the line is drawn between whether he's paying before going to Beis Din or whether it comes to Beis Din already. But the point is that Abaye is asking that Yishalem can mean midaito as well. And where it's a Yeshulam, then there's no doubt we're talking about Beis Din, because Yeshua means not just getting to Beis Din, but mamish taking it all away from him. So that's why he says, Miksev Yeshulam, Rashi puts into that the case of Yordu L'Nachasav. Okay. L'maisa, therefore, this teretz is rejected, and we have to come up, as Rabbi is now going to tell us, with a new answer to the stira. Okay, we want to leave, we left off the tosis, the tosis regarding Yeshalem Midaito Mash, but we'll do it. And then I want to, Mr. Shem, go into the meat of the sugya. Tosis brings a Gemara in Chulin. That seems to go against this Gemara. The Gemara here says, Yishalem midaito mashma. That's Abaye's kasha. Yeshua means bal karcho, Yishalem midaito mashma. Not bal karcho. The Yom Toma, Perek Hazrael Val Chayayim, Perek in Chulin, Yishalem bal karcho mashma. There it's mashma that Yishalem in fact is bal karcho. Where do we see? The Ka'amar. The Gemara says of their Tana, Tani Yishalem Divrei Rabbi Elazar, the At Amrit Midas Chasidus Shanu Kan. So it sounds like the Gemara is asking there that by saying Yishalem Divrei Rabbi Elazar, the words were Yishalem. If Elazar said Yishalem, how can you say that means Midas Chasidus? So a little bit of background, obviously, it's anyway going to help us for the Gemara that we're going to see in a minute. What's the case over there that we're asking from? There was a statement of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said that a person who's mazik matnus kohuna, that means that the gifts that have to be given among the gifts are zro, chayev, the akeva, the chav dalet matnus kohuna, that a person has to give the kohen. And if a person causes hezek to that and it doesn't end up getting to the kohen, or he eats it, patur milishalim, there's no basis to have to pay, to reimburse anybody. The Gemara offers two reasons, two possible reasons for that. Either because of Xeris HaKasav, it says Zeh, It says by Yisroel Chayam Bakeva in Parashas Shoftim, Zeh Yeh Mishpat HaKonim Eisa Am. By saying Zeh, it's mashma only when they're be'en. Only when you have them here, once they're not here, when they're not kayam, there's no responsibility, there's no reason to have to reimburse. That's one drasha, one possible reason. The other reason is because it's called Mamun She'engo Tovim. Who's going to come and tovea the money? Who did you steal from? You stole from the Shevet HaKohuna, but there's no one individual Kohen that has the claim. Well, Kohen's going to say, you owe me money because you took away my Manas Kohuna. No, I would have given it to the other Kohen. It's called Mamun She'engo Tovim. These are the two reasons. Again, to the extent that you want to get into this more carefully, and this is going to get the Tosis over there, Tosis says L'chora that there's a nafgamina between the two reasons. If the Be'achi of Lotzeis Yidei Shamayim, if it's the reason of Zeh, then Xeris HaKasav, I mamash don't have any chiyuv at all to pay. If it's based on the reason of Mamashen L'tovin, that means that B'dinei Adam I don't have to pay. Because there's no Toveya, I could always be Doche Avi Toveya. I say, I'll give it to another Kohen, and therefore, B'din Adam I don't have to pay, but B'din Hashem I would have to pay. But those are the two reasons. Now, then the Gemara, in the continuation of the Gemara has a Kasha on this Din. It doesn't spell out whether we're going with the reason of Zeh, the Drasha, or the reason of Engel Tovin, and possibly the Nafgamina, but this is the Gemara. The Gemara asks, from the following case, it's a Mishnah and Peah. Again, it's going to be brought in by the Rishonim in our Sugya later on, so we'll mention it. The Mishnah says in Peah, Baal HaBayis over mimakom l'makom, v'tzarach lito leket shikcho peah u'maiser ani. So the din is as follows. So we'll soon see this in the Rashi in the Gemara that we're going to read, that to be entitled to matnas aniyim, leket shikcho peah, the various matnas aniyim that we have to give to the ani, you have to be beyond below a certain income level, which we assign to be reish zuz, masayim zuz. That's considered to be the amount of money you can live on, I think, for the year. And if you have less than that, you're entitled to get matnas aniyim. But let's say you have that money. You're not an ani, you're an usher. But we'll have this interesting case. That is, he's a baal bayis. He has assets. And assets are more than 200 zuz. But you're not home. You're not in your home base where you have access to your funds. You're right now traveling. And now, given that you're traveling and you don't have the funds available, would you be entitled to matnas aniyim while you're in transit, while you're away from where the funds are? That's the case given here. And we give him his needs for, you might say, for the day, as we'll see in the Rishonim in our sugya. You give him his meals from matnas aniyim funds. From the funds that are designated for matnas aniyim, you're allowed to give this person, who's technically not an ani, but right now he's in need. So you give him dvar yom biyomo every day, what he needs to get through the day, from the matnas aniyim. So whether it be leket, shikcho peah, whatever it is, he can take for the day. Note, that's clear. Now there's a machlokes tanoim. Rav Elazar says, ukshiyachzor yishalem. When you go back home, now your funds are available, so you have to reimburse. To who exactly? So Rashi says, the first ani that's going to come to you. Okay, somebody's going to be able to make a claim, and you have to give back the amount that you took. Temporarily, you can have it, but it's really not, it's not for good. You have to give back. That's the Rav Elazar. Chum disagree. They say, no, ani hayu b'osa shah, and therefore, you don't have to return anything. So the kasha is asked, so seemingly the kasha is from Rav Elazar. So here you see that you have to pay back. But according to Rav Chisda, if a person is mazik, matnas aniyim, it's mamashi, forget about a case like this. Tamazai, a person eats matnas aniyim before, and he shouldn't, he was not entitled to do that. He doesn't have to pay. So why would Rav Elazar say that he has to pay? That's the kasha that was given. That was mentioned in the Gemara. And the Gemara gives the teretz, Rav Chisda comes to his own defense. Am Rav Chisda midas chasidus shanu kan. That this is not a real halacha, that he has to pay medina, he's required to pay. Of course, what I said is correct. Mazik matnas aniyim is pater, whatever the reasons that we gave before. But it's midas chasidus. Yishalem is midas chasidus. Therefore, not a kash. And here's the part of Gemara that Tosus is bringing in for us. Meanwhile, we have a good yediyah that's going to be relevant for the next piece of Gemara, Derech Agav, but now for Tosfos by us, Amar Rava, Tana Tani Yisharei Ba'at Amet Midas Chasidus Shanu Kan. If the Lashon was used by Rav Elazar Yisharei, how could you speak about Midas Chasidus Yisharei? That is the kasha that Rava asked on what we just suggested, that it's Midas Chasidus, because this is Yisharei. Okay, then the Gemara continues and says, another point, you could ask the kasha from the Sefer, the Chachamim say, Ani HaYibos HaShah, were it to be an Ashir, it should be the issue of Matnes, he would have to pay, I, Mazik Matnes Kahuna, and then Rav Chisda could come and say on that point, Midas Chasidus Shanukah, that's only, if he was an Ashir, it would only be Midas Chasidus. But meanwhile, the line that we want is Rav's kasha. Tana Tani Yishai Vad Milchis Shanukah. What does that suggest? That the word Yisharem sounds like Balkarcho. You have to pay, not Midas Chasidus voluntarily. You have to, you mechuyev to pay, meaning Balkarcho. No, how does that square with this Gemara, where the conclusion is Yisharem Midaito Mashmi, Yeshua is Balkarcho, Yisharem is Midaito. That's the kasha. Tosus in Chulin is more Meirich than Tosus here. He also brings another Gemara, and there's also a Tosus in Bamitzia on that Gemara, where the Gemara talks about a case of a person who's incurring a chiyuv that the Gemara explains with it could be only Gatsi Sidei Shemayim, and yet it says the word Yishale. So Tosus brings that Gemara in Bamitzia of Sadi Aleph. So another, there's really three Gemaras that have to be thought about in this regard. What does Yishale mean? Does it mean Midaito? Does it mean Balkarcho? Let's keep it focused on our Tosus. Tosus says as follows. A different reading of that Gemara. The Yeshlomer, the Hasam, Lo Kamar, Ela, the Lahavi Midas Chasidus, Ela Bedin Chayef. In other words, all we're asking there is La'afuke, that don't say Rabbi Lezer's words of Yishalei Mi Midas Chasidus. That cannot be. Yishalei means there's a Chi of Medina. It's a chi of Medina. But as far as the issue of our Gemara, that's a separate discussion. Is it Midaito? Is it Balkarcho? Is it Bezin forcing you to pay? Are you paying on your own volition? That Abaya here could be 100% correct. We're not dismissing that. Yishalem can mean Midaito. But Midas Chasidus it can't be. Midas Chasidus means you don't owe. Yishalem means you owe. Okay, but as far as whether Bezin is forcing that payment or you're paying by yourself, that could be very well either definition. But that's the point of the Gemara. It's only lafuke that it shouldn't be understood as Midas Chasidus. Tosus, what Tosus does, again, I'm not going to read it, Tosus and Chulin does, is works out, as we noted before, there were two reasons for Rav Chisda's din. Either the drush of Ezeh, or the reason Engel Tovin. Tosus wanted to suggest an afgamina if there would be a chiyuv latsi sidei shemayim, right? Now, if it's a chiyuv latsi sidei shemayim, then you might call that a chiyuv. Okay, so then you have to work out, so then what's wrong with saying yisharim is your chayiv? But if you hold there's not even chiyuv of latsi sidei shemayim, so if you hold it like that, then midas chasidus is lower than that, right? You really would have three levels. You have a chiyuv medina, then you have latsi sidei shemayim, which is a chiyuv, but not that Beis Din can force you to pay it, but your chayiv, it's called a chiyuv, and you have something even lower than that, which is Midas Chasidus, which is not even Lasi Yishamayim. So seemingly, if the point of this teretz would be that Yishalem means your chayiv, okay, but chayiv doesn't have to mean that Beis Din is taking the payment, and seemingly chayiv doesn't even have to mean that your chayiv b'dinei yada. Chayiv could mean your chayiv Lasi Yishamayim. So what would be that you have to learn the Gemara in such a way that the Gemara is saying Midas Chasidus, and it's even less than Lasi Sidei Shemayim. And why would that be? So Tosus has to cheshbon out. Well, if you hold like the reason of the Zeh, of Rav Chisda, then you're not even Chayv Lasi Yishamayim, and that's why the Kasha is a Kasha. Because there wasn't, according to Rav Chisda, there's not even a Chayv Lasi Yishamayim, it's only Midas Chasidus, and that's the Kasha. Yishalem is Mashma Dirchayim more than Midas Chasidus. If you hold like the other reason of Engel Tovin, so then it sounds like you are chayiv lasi yishamayim. So then what's wrong? Yishalim can mean you're chayiv lasi yishamayim. So it says to give a chiluk, but here you wouldn't even be chayiv for that. When you're mazik matnes kahuna and you did something wrong and we knew you were doing something wrong, then you're chayiv lasi yishamayim. If here you maisa, you took the heter, you were never not in a position to get your own funds, so then that would even not have the requirement was Yeshanayim, and that's why the kasha would still be a kasha, that it's only Midas Chasidus, and that wouldn't be compatible with the word Yeshalim. Okay, I'm just giving you a little more information that hopefully is not too confusing, but if you don't take that into account, you don't know the Tosas in Chulin and the Gemara itself, you're also okay. I can you read the Tosas here. Okay, Tosas gave the Teretz that the point is Yeshalim means a chiyu medina, but certainly it can certainly mean midaita, and can mean that you're chayiv. It can't mean that midas chasidus. That's the point of the Gemara. But that's compatible with midaita, but it means that you're chayiv. Okay, that's one point. What's the other pshat? Ve'od amar Rabbeinu Tam. Another reading of that Gemara's kasha. Da'achi kamar. This is the kasha of the Gemara, not the way you just thought. Tana Yishalim, and you're saying Midas Chasidus. So what was our problem? Our problem was, why not? Yishalim is Midaito, so let it be Midas Chasidus. You're paying on your own. What's wrong? The first teretz was no, but it's Mashma Yochai Medina, not Midas Chasidus. The Tana has a different meaning of the Gemara. The kasha is like this: not Tana Yishalim. We're not bothered by the Yishalim. We're bothered by what it says after the word Yishalim. Tana Yishalim Divrei Rabbi Lezer. The Chacham disagree. Va'at am Midas Chasidus? In other words, you're going to make a machlokes what? Whether you have to, the Midas Chasidus exists or not? That's not Sheikh Machlokes Tanayim. Midas Chasidus, be my guest. What's the point? The Chacham not going to take aim at Rabbi Lezer and say, you say your chayv is Midas Chasidus and we say you're not. That's not a machlokes Tanayim that's going to be discussed about Midas Chasidus. The issue is always about whether you're chayv or not, not whether it's Midas Chasidus or not. So the whole point of the kasha was only that nekuda. The Odom Beyotam Dahachi Kamar, not Tanatana Yishalim, that the word Yishalim is mashma, that you're chayiv, and it's not Midas Chasidus. Then you have a problem with our Gemara. Our Gemara says Yishalim is Midaito mashma, so maybe there is Midas Chasidus. No, Dubshat, Dahachi Kamar, Tanatana Yishalim to Rebbe Lezer, Upligi Rabban Alei. Ta'at Amrit, Midas Chasidus, meaning from Midas Chasidus, Ravi Pligi Rabban, what a machok is a Midas Chasidus. Tosis adds, Bulav Achisach Lefarish Hasim Kain. Okay, that has to do with the sugya that the Gemara continues with when Rabbi says that you can be medayik from the Chachamim Seder. But this is in terms of just working out the details of the word, of the nuances of the word Yishalim. Okay, but meanwhile we were privy to a din that has to do with Matnas Anim, which will be helpful for the next piece of Gemara. Okay, so what do we have in the Gemara? Now we're holding that we're back with the stira of the psukim. Now you can use the teretz that we gave. The word Yishalim, in fact, is even discussing Midaito, and it says Meitav. And the other Pasuk says Yashiv, Subin. How do we reconcile the Stiras of Psukim? So now we come with a whole other suggestion. So Abaya was the one who asked the question to Rava. Abaya is the one who rebutted and refuted the answer that was given initially. It's not interesting. It just occurred to me, Mamish, now as I'm speaking. The Maisa, who gave the teretz to Abaye's first question? The Kamidaito, that was Rava. Presumably it was Rava. It doesn't say Omelet, but Amistam was Rava. And then Ula supports the answer, and Abaye asks on the answer. So the Maisa, the answer was assuming Kamidaito kam bal karcho, that the word Yishalim indeed means bal karcho. Okay, Ula is in the same page as Rava. Abaye doesn't like it. Who's the one that asked the kasha in the Gemara in Chulin? Tana Tani Yishai Va'at Amet Midas Chasidus. It's Rava. So, I mean, I don't know, I want to say Shtikul Torah here, I mean, to answer Tosis kasha, but maybe Rava Lishitaso doesn't agree with Abaye. Just like Rava gave an answer and Abaye didn't like it, but Rava held his own. So Rava in Chulin is actually holding the Yishalim, in fact, is Bal Karcho. Not the way Abaye asks. Tosis has to make a shtim with our Gemara. Maybe if you work out Rava and Rava, it actually is not a problem. Mamish, as I'm speaking, and thought of this. I mean, it could be. I don't know. But I don't know if anyone would say it, but it's a suggestion. You have to know, you know, what that's about. But that would make it, obviously, a simple answer to Tosis kasha. Okay, no. Take it or leave it. Just thought. Okay. And when you see something off the cuff, you never know it's amiss or not. But sometimes, okay. Say it. Let's see the Gemara. So Abaye comes with a new answer. Elam Abaye. Abaye says, what's the yishuv of the stira here between the psukim? Kidemar. Kidemar is reference to a Rabba, that Rabba is going to say something here that's going to explain a situation in this brisa that we're not clear about. And when we hear what Rabbah has to say, we're going to be able to use that and apply it to the stiras apsukim over here with Meitav and Yashiv. Okay, so we're going to go now on a whole journey to try to get to some inyan that Rabbah spoke about, Rabbah weighed in on, and that's going to help us back to explain our situation here, the stira and the psukim. Kidamah. Desanya. We have the following grace. Just read the Rashi. Elam abayi lo mashkachas tirutza lahani kroi el kidamar ki hai gavna de tirtza Rabbah lahach desanya. This issue that we're going to quote a brisa about, and Rabbah came to explain it, so this is going to help us explain the stiras apsukim. What do we have here? We have a brisa. Brisa speaks about the following case. Hare shahayu lo batim sados ukramim. He has all kinds of different assets, houses, fields, vineyards. The eno motzei lemochran. And he's not in a position to sell them. Okay, if he would sell them, so they would net money for him, right? And then he would have adequate funds to take care of his needs, right? Now, what do we do? Ein motzei lemochran. Machilan also maisa ani. You can give him maisa ani funds ad mechza, until half. So let's just mention this. This is a major, major machlokes. A lot of different, not major machlokes, but a lot of different perushim here that we see. Rashi has two lishonos. Tosis has several lishonos here. So we'll keep it simple for now. We're going to go with Rashi. And we'll explain as follows. Let's look at the Rashi here. So what exactly is the case? The Gemara is going to ask more carefully, but what's the case that we're talking about here as far as this person? He says he has sadas batim ukramim. What are they assessed at? He's enamot sel mochran. So this is the first thing that Rashi says here, which is not necessarily assumed in the Lashon. For all you know, it could be worth 1,000 zuz, right? Then you have to reinterpret the ad nechsa that you're giving. What does it mean? Ad nechsa depends on what it means to begin with. What are these things adding up to? So Rashi says, if you add up the sados batim ukramim, shavim asayim zuz, they equal the amount of assignments, which therefore means he cannot cake matnasaniyim. Utnan mesaches peya. The Mishnah Perek Ches in Peya says, "Bishi yeshlo masayim zuz, lo yito lekachikol peya umaisa ani." So all the various matnasaniyim, lekachikol peya, maisa ani during those years, he's not entitled to them because he has masayim zuz. Delav anihu, v'nimtza gozo aniyim. So to the extent that he's not an ani, he's gozo aniyim. Again, does he have to pay? Oh, that's a separate, that's the sugi in chun kuflamid as far as mazik matnas aniyim. Mazik matnas kahuna, same idea. But lemaisa, he's a gozo matnas aniyim if he's not entitled. Hayyolo masayim zuz chasadiner. Let's say he's just short of masayim zuz. V'nasnu lo shave elv zuz vasachas, and he gets 1,000 zuz, granted pay of 1,000 zuz, all comes at once. Harei zayito. He can get even that. Mistama doesn't mean to put in the bank. Mistama means he has needs that obviously could be, you know, not more than bare bones needs, but needs. So you can give him for all those needs, even in expanded form. Now, what about this situation here? V'zeh yesh lo batim sados ukramim shavim masayim zuz. So Rashi's pshat here, and the first pshat of Rashi is, these sados batim ukramim, the real estate that he has, is exactly masayim zuz, which means he's at the point that technically he should not be able to collect matnas aniyim. Avo ena motzei limkor, which we'll have to see why that is. That's the Gemara soon. Ena motzei limkor. He's not going to be able to sell them to get out of these assets the 200 zuz that they're worth. Now, if you were to sell them, be'etzem, the 200 zuz here. That's the value. But practically, he doesn't have access in these assets to the 200 zuz because it would not net him, for whatever reason, I was going to discuss, the 200 zuz, that therefore he shouldn't get matnas aniyim. But technically, they are valued at 200 zuz. So then, what do you do? Machilano so maisa ani ad mechza. So how's Rashi teaching the ad mechza here? Shavin meya zuz. Knows you can give him matnas aniyim up to meya zuz. Doesn't mean you have to give meya zuz. Up to meya zuz. In other words, meaning to say that with what you're giving him and what he'll, and the money he'll get from the proceeds of the sale, he will have what? He'll have Messiah. It's an interesting thing. It's not like he's getting Matnas Aniyim without any, without any limitations. He's getting enough to bring him up to Mesayim Zuz when he'll sell what he has here. The shortfall that the proceeds will entail, short of 200 Zuz, that's what we're being mashlim with Matnas Aniyim. Bekarkaos of Yimkar b'Meya Zuz, because the Tfei Mipago goes Zayli Ga'olam. They don't go down more than half. Therefore, if the assets are 200, then this Einamot Selimka situation would get him 100 or more than 100. So whatever the difference is between what he'll get and 200 is what you provide him with. Even before we go on in the Gemara to discuss more details, look, let's try to understand what's going on here exactly. What kind of halacha would this mean, according to Rashi? What does it mean? You're giving him Matnas Aniyim to the extent that he'll be able to have Masayim Zuz. What does that mean exactly? Where does that come from? It's a new halacha, apparently. But what does that mean? Manafshach, he's an Ani or he's not an Ani? If he's an Ani, because he can't sell them, then give him Elav Zuz. You don't count this, that he has 200. If he's an Ani, if he's considered that he has 200, then he shouldn't be entitled to anything. So where does this halacha come from? So this is why other Rishonim have other pshat in here. That even Rashi's Lishna Achrina, that the issue is not about somebody who has assets that equal 200 zuz. He has assets that equal, let's say, 2,000 zuz, right? But the loss that he would have if he had to sell them is significant. And therefore, the question becomes, does this fit into that paradigm of Balabayis, the Mishnah that we had in Peah that we saw quoted in Chulin Kuf Lamed? Balabayis over Makom L'Makom, that right now he doesn't have assets that he could access. So to the extent that a person has assets that to access them would require him to take a tremendous loss, we're not going to mechayiv him that. Just like a person will have to sell his basic needs either, right? That he has one house that he lives in. No one's going to tell him to sell his house. That doesn't count toward the minimum of Masayim Zuz. So even if he has extra real estate, but if the situation, again, whatever, we have to work out the details, the situation would require him to have to sell it as significant loss, we don't require that of him, and we say, we'll give you Maiser Ani, we'll give you Matnas Aniyim. So now, let's maybe use that for Rashi as well. According to Rashi, it's not pshat that he has 2,000 zuz that this is valued at, but he'd have to sell it at a great loss. He has what's worth exactly 200 zuz, but he's not in a position to access the 200 zuz in these assets right now. So where does the problem lie? In the fact that this real estate will not give him the Masayim Zuz. That's where he's missing. That's what's lacking for him. So the same way that we just talked about a minute ago, the din of a Bala Bayis, who's going from place to place, he's not home. So we give him, as needed, each day, what Matnas Aniyim can give him for the day. We supply his basic needs, because right now he doesn't have, and as I said, it could be that case where he has so much, but to sell it at such a great loss is not expected of him, so we give him for the day. So that's that halacha. And other Rishonim use that halacha as the very case over here. So Rashi is not saying that. Rashi is saying here, we're not talking about somebody who has tons of assets, but it would be a big loss. We're talking about assets that themselves are exactly at the point of 200. But that's not what he's going to get here. He wouldn't get that. He would net less than that. 100 something. So where does his anius express itself? Where does his anius express itself? In the other case, it's expressing itself in the absolute way in the context of the fact that he's passing through. Right? So we give him, as needed, for the day, Matnas Aniyim, because Ani Hayab Osa Shah. So there the anius is expressed in terms of the context of the story, that he needs for the day because we're not going to make him sell something at a great loss, so he doesn't have anything with him, whatever the case may be. So that's the case where he gets matnas aniyim day by day. What's the context of this person's anius? Second, what's the context of it? The context is that his Masayim, assets of Masayim Zeus cannot yield Masayim Zeus. So the din, just like we have this idea of not just absolute ani, but an ani ba'osa shah, so this concept in Rashi is something you might say parallel to that. That the anius is machmas, the karka, the real estate that cannot give him Masayim Zeus, we're going to make that up, and that's the matnas aniyim that we're going to provide him with. That we're going to get him to the point that he has Masayim Zeus now. So he'll sell it for up to, he can sell it for 100, because more than that doesn't go down, and we'll give him 100. If he can sell for 125, we'll give him 75 Zeus. So that seems to be a little bit like Rashi. We're using the muscle of the balabais of makam l'makam. Again, this is not exactly that case for Rashi. For other Rishonim, this case could very well be mamish, an application of that halacha. For Rashi, it's not. For Rashi, it's a halacha that's, I might say, parallel to it. It's a contextual anius. It's not anius in absolute way. It's an anius to the extent that you're not able to access the 200 zuz that this property is valued at. So that's the shortfall. That shortfall we'll make up by giving matnas aniyim. Yes. Good. So let's now the Gemara is going to try to understand what the Metzius is, and Rabbi is going to provide a solution. And with Rabbi's solution, Abai is going to come back and try to work out the mysterious psukim between Yashiv and Meitav. You haven't said much yet.
Yeah. Just to clarify, I remember you mentioned this mission, the mission on Parakas. How does it work with that mission that says we don't demand aniyim to sell?
No, so that's what's so important that here. The point is that the one house you have to sell, but anything above that one house. You know, so talking, this is not, I think someone says it over here too, that these houses are not including his basic residence. Basic residence doesn't get factored into the cheshbon. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's also mefurish mishnayis, but the Rishonim mention it. These are the two mishnayis that I gave you, right? In Perek Ches, Misha Yesh, Lo Masayim Zuz, Lo Yito, Lekha Shikol Peo, Maisar Ani, Hayu Masayim Chasadina, Fil Elf, Nosim, Lo Ka'achas, Hareza Yito. That's Rashi quoted here. And then the other Mishnah, that was in Perek Hey, that was quoted in Chulin Kuflamit, in the Gay of the Tosis that we just saw before. Bar Bais, Lo Yov, Makam, Lo Makam, Vitzarach, Lito, Lekha Shikol Peo, Peo, Maisar Ani, Yito, Kshiyazal, Beis, Yishan, Rebelezer, Vachamra, Mim, Ani, Hayu, Bosisha. Again, that idea may or may not be the exact situation that we're dealing with. For some Rishonim, that's what we're dealing with here, because it's the equivalent of that, because we're not going to machayiv him to sell at a great loss, and we still have to work out the admechsa and all of that. It's going to have different meaning, admechsa. But what we're saying now for Rashi's first pshat is that the issue is not exactly that, but it's a similar idea, that you can have Meiser matnas aniyim given, you know, in a limited fashion. And in this case, the limited fashion will mean to supplement the shortfall to get to Masayim Zuz out of these assets. These assets should net Masayim Zuz, but for whatever the circumstances are, as I'm always going to get into, at this situation, you are not going to be able to access the Masayim Zuz out of it. You only access, you know, 100 or maybe more than that, but not 200. So whatever that difference is going to be between what you'll get and 200 is what you'll get in the form of matnas aniyim. So that's the nature of this halacha. Yeah.
We're just evaluating right. How poor he is because he can't get his full value.
Why can't he get his full value? That's what the Gemara is about to discuss. Why not? Why is he in a situation that ain't a motzi limkor? That's exactly what we have to figure out. We're going kiseda. We don't know yet why. The Gemara is going to try to figure out what's the situation. Why would you, you know, in order to explain that he can get mechsa. Okay, for Rashi, ad mechsa means, again, keep cheshbin what the ad mechsa means. For right now, we only have one pshat. We're not going to think of any other pshatim at this point. Not Tosas, not Lishnachrina. We're holding with one pshat of Rashi. Ad mechsa is modifying how much he's getting, not until what point you're going to give. Ad mechsa specifically, machilin also, one sentence, machilin also ad mechsa. That means how much matnas aniyim does he get? He gets up to 100, but it could be less. In other words, whatever, more than 100, it's not going to go down more than 100. So up to 100, is what he gets, because that will bring him up to 200. If you have to give him 75 to bring him up to 200, because he'll get 125 out of the sale, they give him 75. Now, where does this come from? It's this idea that matnas aniyim can be given in a context of not an absolute ani, but a situational ani, a contextual one. This situation of anius is a result of the karka not being able to net what its full value is. And to the extent that it's less than 200, I want to make up the shortfall for him. But now, exactly why is this the case? Why ain't a motzei limka? And to the extent that we figure out the case, we have to know why only do you give him ad mechza? So the Gemara is going to continue and ask and probe on this level. So the Gemara asks, Vahavi b'mar. Again, Abaye refers to Rabba with the honorific of Mar. So Rabba wondered, Hainu Rabba, as Rashi says, Vahavi b'mar. So Rabba looked at this braisa and he asked, Mimanafshach, I don't get the case. Heichi dami. I huzal arisa de kuliyam. If you tell me everybody's land went down in price, the didei nami zol bahadayu, and his assets, his bato sadus akramim, went down along with everyone else's real estate, the market was down, then afilu tuva nami lispilei. Then you should, tuva, again, translate according to the pshat that we're working with in Rashi right now, tuva nami lispilei. Lispilei is to machil him. Lispi is to be machil, lispi, to give, to eat, to feed. So even a lot you should feed him, not just ad mechza. The ad mechza for Rashi's pshat is you're giving him ad mechza, up to 100 you're giving him, to get him up to the 200 mark. So you should give him even more. Da'azau de'kulyama nami. In other words, what's the kasha? If everyone's land went down, then what's the value of his assets right now? It's obviously less than 200. What do you mean? He can't access the 200. Everyone's land went down. That means that the market's down. That means the value right now is not 200. So tuva nami lispilei. Give him elef zuz. Rashi, afil tuva nami lispilei shari achshav ein shavim asayim zuz. What he has is not valued at 200. Utanan, and we have the Mishnah. That's the Mishnah in Perek Ches, right? Hayulo masayim zuz chasadina, even a little bit short of 200. Afil nasnu shav elef zuz bivasachas yito. So again, I don't think it means tuvanami, he wants to have savings in the bank. It means that he has hasagos that, you know, that are more than bare bones, but they're all considered to be within the realm of needs that he has. So why are we limiting ourselves to anechsa, to give him only what? Up to 100? Lemaisa, if everyone's land went down, then the value right now of his assets, his net value is less than what? Less than 200, so you get a lot. So that doesn't sound right. Ella what? Continue the Gemara. Continues Rabba. Ella, the Oker Arisa de Kuliyama. Everybody's land is high up. Price is high. But his land, I did the eye of Adafik Azuzi, since he seems to be in a desperate straits, he's a desperate situation. People know that he's scrounging for money. Therefore, Zola Are, therefore his land goes down. People are not going to offer him the real value of the land. So he's not going to get the 200. Because people know that he's desperate, so they don't want to pay him the real value. The real value of everybody else is higher. Then a filo portanami lowest feeling. Then the kasha is the other direction. And again, taish the words the simple way, according to Rashi's first pshat, a filo portanami lowest for even less. Right, even less you shouldn't give him, meaning even ad nechsa you shouldn't give him. You're giving him up to 100? Why? He has valued assets valued at 200. Rashi says, notice, Rashi doesn't say anything about Pshia here. We're going to see other things. He's stressing the Tosus and other Sfaras. Rashi in the second Lashon brings in that the fact that he's getting on, that he's desperate, is a Pshia of sorts. Notice, Rashi doesn't say anything about that at this point. There's nothing about Pshia. Who says it's called a Pshia? Who says that's a reason not to give him? It's simple. If, in fact, everything is worth 200 by the market, and for some reason his situation, because of the fact that he's desperate, his karka won't yield that, why would that entitle him to get up to mechsa? After all, he's an usher. In other words, so Nebuch will have to sell it for the 100, he'll have his food from that. Like, why would we hold back? Why would we give him? We should hold back and not give him anything. Okay, this is whose question? Mar. This is Rabbi's question. So Bayez continues. The Omar Mar Allah. So what did he keeps repeating the idea that Rabbah is responding, that this is the pshat of this braisa. This is how we understand what the situation of why machin ad nechza. Lo tzvicha, the biyoma nisan yikara arisa. In the season of the spring, in Nisan, the month of Nisan, those days, the lands have a higher value. They go up in price. So people transact with the land then, they get a higher amount. Over Yom Tishrei Zolaris, in the season, the wind, in the rainy season, Yom Tishrei, the lands are lower in price. Now, this line seems to be important. The Kulayalma Natri Ad Nisan Mizavni. Seems to be a critical nekuda here. The rest of the world, the norm of the world is that people wait to sell land in Nisan, because when they sell land in Nisan, they're getting more money for their land. But this person, Bahai, Chov Itzpicha Leizuzi, since he's in need of money, Zavin Kedahashta, he's selling at the price of Tishrei. Okay, this is how Rabbah worked out the case that we're dealing with. We're talking about a person who's in Tishrei, and in Tishrei he won't get the price of Nisan, and the drop in price goes as far as half. Ad palga urche lemezal, that's the norm to go down to a drop to up until half its value. Tfei lav urche lemezal. Okay, so this is vis-a-vis the case that we're talking about over there. Soon Rabbi is going to apply it to us. So let's understand first in terms of itself. So what is Rabbi explaining here? What's Rabbi's contribution to this situation, to this braisa? That we're talking about a situation of Tishrei versus Nisan. And in Tishrei, the land will net less, possibly up to half the value. And this person, because he's desperate, needs to sell it in Tishrei. And therefore, we can help him out, because he's only going to get half the value, so we can give him the extra 100, which would bring him up to 200. Rashi. The biyom Nisan yikara arisa. Rashi gives us more of an explanation. Why is the land higher in price in Nisan? Nishalokeach, when you buy the Nisan, then you have an opportunity to immediately begin to do what needs to be done, to plant things and to have produce. Shalokeach near v'choresh osan b'mosa kayit. In other words, you can use the summer months, having bought it in the spring, to do what you need to do to prepare the land in the form of plowing and so on. And then once you do the plowing and the chavisha in the summer, then v'zorim b'tishrei, and then you can do the planting in the month of Tishrei uv marcheshvan, and therefore that's why the lands are more expensive in Nisan, because then you seize the opportunity to do the preparatory work, so that you can do the planting in the planting season by having done the chavisha in the summer. However, yom Tishrei zili she'en sipek v'zorim b'os hashana. You know, you lost that entire window of time. You buy in Tishrei, then you're gonna have to wait around till the summer to start the plowing and so on, and then so you've missed out on the planting. You didn't do the preparatory work. So that's why the price is less in Tishrei. So now, everyone else, what do they do? Natri ad Nisan mezavni. But this person, because he's very much in need of money, Zavin kedahashta, he has to sell according to Tishrei's price. Zavin kedahashta b'tishrei, mishum de'itzbrech lezuzi. So now Rashi gives us the explanation. So now how does it work out? So you're giving him ad mechza in Tishrei. Hilkach. So how do we understand this? Look, Rashi. Ani lo havi. This is the critical nekuda of Abaye. Ani, and Rabba really at this point. Ani lo havi di yitu shava elav dina. He's not considered an ani to get elav dina. Why? Ho'u biyom nisan shavos karka'osav masayim. So let's understand. He can't get elav dina. Why not? Because at Nisan's price, the value is 200. That's the price of Nisan. That's the price of Nisan. V'ashir lo havi, but he's not an asher either. Ho'u ulkuli almanami lo havi shavin hashta masayim. He's not an usher either. He's not an ani because you have Nisan's price to reckon with. He's not an usher because everyone agrees that today it would net 200. Hilkach, mashrimin lo ad masayim. Again, Rashi's pshat, ad masayim. You give him up to the point that he'll have the shortfall will be covered. V'haynu mechza, da'ad palga orche lemezo tfeilo. So Rabbah gave us a pshat in the Braisa. So again, the issue has to do with, as we said before, the karka, he can't access Masayim out of this karka. So he's an ani in terms of this real estate, not giving him 200. That's the nature of his poverty. He's lacking the but how does it work exactly? The fact that in Nisan, it would be 200. So apparently, what we see here is, what's this Yisod? Nisan's price is what? Is abstract? Or it's real? In other words, I would ask you, let's say we know that the price will go up. We have a tip, insider, whatever information, whatever it is, we know the all the prognosticators are saying its price is going to go up. Right now it's less than 200, but it's going to go up to 200. How much would you give this guy, Matnas Adim? Forget about Nisan and Tishrei here. If you knew the price was going up, I think you'd give him Elav Zuz. Because right now, the price is less than 200. What's going to be tomorrow is tomorrow. But we are right now today. Today, it doesn't get you. That's the price. Apparently, this is Nekuda here. The fact that everybody can wait, everyone waits, that means that the value of Nisan is relevant for Tishrei as well. When we think about the value of the karka, it's not just the davar shelo b'olam, that price will come into being at some point. The price of Nisan is associated with the karka in Tishrei as well. That seems to be what the point is. And therefore, you have to recognize that this person's assets are seen in terms of Nisan as well as in terms of the present. I have to recognize the fact that everybody waits to Nisan, that's important information. Everyone waits for Nisan. That's when that's the market. The market is a Nisan. So the price of the karka is defined by its market date as well. Now understand, that doesn't mean in absolute sense it's Nisan's price. If somebody, of course, I mean, we'll see it in terms of the Nezikin, but obviously you sell it today, you get what you get in Tishrei. But the price of Nisan is also relevant. And it's relevant in certain terms of this issue that you cannot say in an absolute way he's an ani. Because since the price that is generally the market price for this real estate is going to give him 200, so he's not an ani. Because he has assets that by their Nisan's market are 200. But given that we are now in Tishrei, and he feels he has to sell in Tishrei, so he can't get the 200, he can't get the Nisan's price out of it. He can't get the 200 that's also within the realm of the price of these lands. So it's an interesting idea here. You have this Nisan Tishrei point is not just dumb. You see, Rabbah's machadish something here, and Abaya's running with it now. So the issue so far is Nogea, an Ani, and an Ashir, and this quasi-Ani, that's not exactly an Ani in the fullest way, but this situation that he's in a, you know, he's not quite an Ani, because he has assets of 200 with Nisan, and that's why everyone waits for Nisan. Everyone waits, that's important information. Everyone waits, that's why the market is Nisan. On the other hand, he's not an Ashir either, because right now, his land, he's not going to be able to get. He can't get the 200 right now, and he's selling it now. So therefore, we come in with the Admechs. So how does Abaye want to answer the stira based on this? Abaye says, here's my Mahalach. We had two Pesukim. We had a Pesuk of Meitav, and we had a Pesuk of Yashiv Afilu Subin. And how do we reconcile that? Is it Meitav and nothing short of Meitav, or it can even pay Subin? So Abaye says, here's how we work it out. Now that I explained what Rabbi said in the case of here of Matnas Aniyim, comes Abaye and says, Hachanami Gabi Nezikin, so too we'll say as follows, Dinei Be'idus. When you have a situation of Nezikin, the claim of the Nezik is Meita, it's Idus. That's his claim. V'i Omale, Iyu, Havli Beinis Tfei Porta, right? The difference between Idus and Beinis is value is the same, just that how much acres are you going to get for that value? Edis is prime real estate, so for that same value, you're going to have less square acres of the land. Beinis, which is not as fine, not as, you know, high quality, you'll get more. So suppose this Nizik, says, you know, my din is to get Edus, right? Whatever amount of hezek I want, I have a right to Edus. But let's say, here we get a new layer to the sugya. The nizik says, give me beninus, but a little more quantity of beninus. Not so good quality, beninus quality, medium quality, but more land. Why he would say, Rashi gives us suggestions. He could say, stavisai, maybe he just happens to have a preference different than most people. Rashi has some specific example Rashi gave. But meanwhile, what do we see? Before we even continue, a nizik whose din is beidus also has a right to make a claim on beninus. But that's already something to discover in the Gemara. We're just getting our feet wet here. The nizik has a right to claim beninus, not exclusive claim on edus. But apparently, here's where the pushback comes on the part of the mazik. Now that the nizik is requesting kavi beis feipurta, comes the mazik and says the following. And here's where the psukim are going to get reconciled. Amale, ishakris kedinach. If you're going to take according to what should be by right, your actual din, meaning what? Edis. Then shkokedahashim. Then you take according to the price of today. And obviously the mazik has no choice but to give him at the price of today, meaning of Tishrei. But that's if you take kedinach. If you're taking according to what is actually coming to you, fundamentally your claim is edis. But if you want to access your second-tier claim, which you have the right to do, the ilo, if you don't want to take kedinach, you're not taking the thing that by right is yours, but you want to sort of, this auxiliary claim that sort of is a derivative of edis, which is you can claim beinus as well, but then says the mazik, shkol kiyopredil kameh. Then you have to take it according to the price of Nisan, which means you're going to have to obviously end up with less land because we're going to work with the higher price of Nisan. Oh, this is Abaye's suggestion. So how do we accommodate the psukim? We have the pasuk of Netav. That's to be fulfilled if he's getting Edis. What's the other pasuk? Yashiv, Shavakasif Subin. That has to do with when the Nizik wants to take Beinus, then the Torah is Machadesh, this would be the Chiddush of Yashiv, that he would have to take it according to the higher price. And the Mazik has the right to say, I want you to take the higher price, take it at the higher price of Nisan. A whole new Gemara. What do you need to... Let's see the Rashi first, yeah? V'hachanami gabi nizakin. Hachanami gabi nizakin, nami... Here's how we resolve the psukim. Here's how they can be resolved. Keep going. The biyoma Nisan yikara arisa. Okay, as we said, Nisan the price is higher, as we explain the reasons for that. Ubiyoma Tishrei zol. In Tishrei the price is down. Now Rashi says the hizik b'Tishrei shavimana. The hezik took place. I'm not sure Rashi has to make the hezek in Tishrei. What's relevant is the din Torah. I don't understand why Rashi has to say hezek in Tishrei. Maybe it's just simpler. The stomach things don't take that long until you get to Beis Din. I don't know. Hezek in Tishrei, shavimana. Didn't know what Rashi means by hezek in Tishrei, shavimana. L'maisa, Rashi says the hezek was in Tishrei, the value of a mana. Uba lidvos mana mikarkolos hamazik. Now comes the din Torah, and he wants to claim the value of the loss, which was mana, from karka hamazik, v'dino be'idis, k'dusev meita. And his din is idis. Says the mazik to the nizik, if you're going to take kedinach, kedinach means idis, shkol, kizol dahashta, then you get it according to the lower price of Tishrei, that's when the hezek occurred, that's when we're in Beis Din, seder. But v'i amale nizik, and that's simple, v'i amale nizik, havli mi beinis, k'dahashta, tfei purta. I'd rather take, again, according to today's price of Tishrei, a little more quantity of beninus, mimai deboris lemesavli beidus, from the amount of land that you want to give beidus at the price of Tishrei. I'd rather have more land at the value of mana, according to the price of Tishrei, but beninus. Lo marzi lemichpiye. So here is where the nizik is going to be at a disadvantage. The nizik, the toveya, it would not be able to force the mazik to give him the beninus claim at the price of Tishrei. Ela amale mazik, the mazik will say in response to him, no, ishakris beidis kidinach. You're going to take Edus, which is what you're by right supposed to take. Shkol ki hashta. Then I have no choice but to give that to you at price of Tishrei. The Elo, and if you're not going to take your Edus, you want to take Beinus, then I can push you, Shkol mi Beinus ki yukfa de l'kame. Let's just think for a second. By virtue of what can the Mazik do this? I mean, why can't he sue this for the Edus as well? I want to go with the price of Nisa. Why is he? What's his claim? Like, where's it coming from? So, like, what's going through the Mazik's mind? What would he say? Well, this land, as far as I'm concerned, I'm playing with the price of Nisa. Why? Well, what did we see before the Gemara? What was that one line in the Gemara that was critical? Why is Nisan relevant, Rabbo say? Is every, what? Natri Adni, oh, the Kuli Alma, Natri Adnisa. So he says, I'm Kuli Alma. I would wait. This land, if I had to part with this land, I would wait to Nisan. I would get more money out of it. If I would sell this land, I had to surrender this land and get money in exchange. So the value that I would want to assign to it is the value of Nisan. I would wait to Nisan. You're trying to take away that schus I have to wait to Nisan. So I say, look, Mitzidi, I'm not mechuyev to give to sacrifice that I would wait to Nisan. I'm prepared to wait for Nisan. You want Beinus now? Fine, but at Nisan's price. That's when I would sell it. Otherwise, then why is it only on the Beinus that he can say that? So the Mazik has a good logical point. He says, I would wait till Nisan. That's when everybody waits to sell land. So why should I lose out because you want to get your payment for Nezikin from Beinus? For today, I would wait for Nisan if I want to part with this land, so you take it at Nisan's price. So you'll get less land, it'll be the higher price. So you'll get for the money, the price of Nisan, you'll get. That's how much I have to give you. So why can't he do that for Edus? What seems to be the difference? Because Edus is considered to be Kedinach. Now, the Nizik, the Iker claim that the Nizik has over the land of the Mazik is Edus. But obviously, by extension, he also can make a claim for Beinus as well. But the claim of Beinus is not dinach. It's not dinach. It's lav kedinach. It's not the fundamental right. It's an auxiliary right. He has a right to say, okay, give me Beinus. But to the extent that what is considered to be the Iker claim, so the Mazik has no choice but to give it to him today. That's what it's today. Today's price is today's price. I pay according to today. But that's when I'm paying you what is magia lecha. What's your din? When you're saying, okay, but I'd rather substitute that Ika claim for a different, for Beinonis. Says the Mazik, oh, but I'm not on my cheshbon. On my cheshbon, I would wait for Nisan. Seems to be a little bit what's going on, right? Okay, so let's see. How does this resolve the Stiras HaPsukim now? Let's come back to the Rashi. Ulahachi Asi Yashiv L'Rabo Subin. Now we understand the Yashiv. The Yashiv, the other drasha, Rabbi Subin. Meaning, what's the Torah Mechadesh? What's the Torah being Mechadesh in the Xeris HaKas of Yashiv, Rabbi Subin? The Ibai Mishkal Nizik Subin. Suppose the Nizik wants something lower quality, meaning a Ziburis land or Beinus land. Kigon Sheyesh Lo Karka. Rashi gives you why he might want it. Okay, I could have thought whatever, but Rashi says, Kigon Sheyesh Lo Karka, Samuch Laosa Beinus Shel Mazik. He has a land adjoining the Beinus. Beinus is not Edus, but he has a land adjoining that Beinus and the Mazik, so therefore he'll have one contiguous portion of land if he gets the Beinus. Like Edus, I have an Edus here, and I have my own land somewhere else. I'd rather have one land together and connected, so therefore I'd write your Beinus. That's the issue. V'nicha leba. So then, shakila ki yukra del kame. He'll get it, but at the price of Nisan. It's Shavu Kesef Nisa. The Shavu Kesef of the Torah's Yashiv is Shavu Kesef because it's Shavu Kesef of Nisa. That's the Chiddush of the Pasuk. So you have Meitav, that's the fundamental din. That's the Iker din. We have Yashiv, we have a Shavu Kesef, a Filus Subin, that he'll have to take anything less than Meitav, which he can claim if he so desires, but at the price of Nisa. That's the Chiddush of the other Pasuk. Why do you have to talk about Nisan and Tishrei at all? Just say that the second pasuk is telling me the Iker Halacha that he can claim if he wants. He can claim something less than Meitav. Maybe that's the Chiddush. Forget about Nisan Tishri. Just say that one Pasuk is the Din of Meitav, another Pasuk is, and if should he desire to claim Beinonis, he can do so. Why can't that be the simple answer? What does Rashi respond to that? That would be Pashut. What's Pashut and what's the Chiddush? That the Nizik can decide to opt for claiming Beinonis instead of Idus, that we need a Pasuk for. Says Rashi, L'hachi itzrich l'abayi l'ukma b'hachi k'damoran. The sofa liyakeh b'nisan, and it's going to go up. Forget about it. Maybe everything stays the same. Bishem di'i ain't sofa liyakeh k'rola mayasa. What would the pasuk be necessary for? If not to tell me that he gets it at a different pay scale, a different price scale of Nisan, what would the pasuk tell me? Pshita di'boi nizik ha'mishkal subin shakil ba'kocha shel mazik. It's obvious, says Rashi, that the nizik has the right to claim subin, even if mazik would rather not give the subin. Sha'afil bi'idis yafe kocho, koshken b'beinis. See, Rashi says, the fact that the Nizik can claim not Kedino, but less than Dino, is a davar pashut. If I have a right for Edis, I have a right to Beinus. So that wouldn't need a pashut for that. So where is it relevant to teach me Yashiv Rabbis Davar Kesef that he has to take it for the price of Nisan? So let's try to put the pieces together. Now we have an Lishna Achrina and Rashi, back on the earlier part of the Gemara, but just get the pieces of the sugya together. So what did Abaye, first of all, you know, there have been no parents that's kedai to look at, maybe we'll see it. What did Abaye find in Rabbah? Why do we have to take a whole tour of Maaser Ani and the Pshat of Rabbah? Like, okay, is it real that Nisan and Tishrei, that the prices fluctuate? Assuming it's correct. So leave out all the intermediate phase of Rabbah and Maaser Ani and the implications of Nisan Tishrei for Maaser Ani. Just say very simply that the Chiddush of Yashiv is that if the Nisak claims Beinonis, the Mazik can push him off to take it the price of Nisan because the price is higher. All I need to know is that the price goes up in Nisan, right? What do we have to know about Maaser Ani and the issue about that you can give him a nechsa? Why do I need all that? Why do I need Rabbah's interpretation of the Braisa to justify when he gets Maaser Ani? Because of the fact that the case is that it's in Tishrei and he can't sell it for the Reese's price in Tishrei, so therefore he gets 100 a nechsa. Like, why is all that relevant? What am I seeing in that that now can allow me to understand the issue of the steer of the psukim? Just tell me one thing. The price is higher in Nisan. Good? Okay? So the Chiddush HaPasuk is, Yashiv, that when he's giving him Beinonis, he can say, I'm pushing you off to the price of Nisan. I want to wait for Nisan. What are we missing here? Why is Rabbah's pshat that has halachic applications in the din of Maaser Ani, whatever pshat you'll say, so far we saw Rashi's pshat in the case. Why is that pshat of Rabbah integral for Abaye to come back and answer the steer of psukim? This is who has his kashrut and parents. Why is this important to know how Rabbah ties the brayse of Maaser Ani? Yes, another kasha also. What the Yashiv LeRabo Shavakesef VaAfilu Subin? It's another diuk. Afilu Subin. What's Afilu Subin? What's Afilu Subin? The point is, if it's less than Edis, the Torah says the Mazik can push him off to Nisan's price. What's Afilu Subin? Rabo said, you got to bail parrots, yeah? No, okay. You just push again through the Gemara, it's hard, right? Not easy Gemara, I understand. Ari, question.
No, I thought I had.
All right. But wait, is everyone holding now, though? I took you, Baruch Hashem, by the hand enough to. Good? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, sure.
I mean, that it maybe only works because, as we said before, the price of Nisan is what it is.
I gave you a hint before to what the answer is. Good. In other words, the fact that it's forecast that the price would be going up, but is not itself enough to justify either by Nezikin to push him off to price of Nisan or by Maaser Ani to give him, to say that he's not an Ani. To the extent that what's going to be in the future is going to be in the future. But Lamaisa, we have to deal with the present. the crux of this inyan of Nisan and Tishrei seems to be, we'll see how the Beit Haaretz puts it, but that we have to reckon with the price of Nisan. Not just for Nisan, but for Tishrei too. Again, Gabi certain halachas. When he's giving Edis, paying Edis, he pays him Tishrei's price of Edis. The fact that he can push him off for Beinus to Nisan is because the price of Nisan has relevance in Tishrei. It's ki'ilu, there's a second price here that the karka yields. If you ask me, in any time of the year, what's the price of this karka? So you can say that's Tishrei's price and Nisan's price. Even in Tishrei, there's Nisan's price that's associated with this land. It's not that will come Nisan and then the price will be Nisan. No. Because the market is a Nisan. So if the market's a Nisan, then to some extent that defines the price even in Tishrei. But there's also the price in Tishrei. And this is why it gets sticky. By Maaser Ani, you have this idea that he's in some regards he's an Ashir because Maaser Nisan will yield him Masayim Zuz, and the Nisan's price is not something hovering somewhere else. It's the price of this land because that's the market. The market isn't in Nisan. Then again, but right now he can't access it, because it's Tishrei now. So we maslim, according to the first Pirashi, we maslim ad mechsa. And so, too, over here, Stamazai, the Mazik can't say, I'm going to wait and sell it at a high price, and therefore I'm going to give you a high price. No, nothing doing. You have to give me according to whatever the value of the karka is today. The answer is yeah, but Nisan's price is also associated with the karka today. So, on the level of the claim, of the Iker claim of Edis, I can't do that. I have to pay according to today's price. But once you want to go a different route, you want to go not in the normal route of Edith, you have a right to ask for Venus, then I can say, then we have to use the price of Edith. That seems to be what's going on. We'll see a bit of parrots inside in a second. This is a chur, the skeleton, the sugi, just to sort of lay it out a little bit, the shell. We haven't even done the other Pshat of Rashi yet, and the other Tosfos. There's really two paths to the sugya, Rabbi. So just to recognize, when you see a sugya, you want to break through a sugya, you have to recognize, what do we have here? Everything is thrown at you in the Gemara, but you have to begin to sort out for yourself. There's the Inyan Ma'aser Ani, and then the Shaka V'Tarya, the Gemara asks, Afil Porta, Afil Tuva, you have to work out, this Rashi's Pshat, there's Shnachrina's Pshat, and Tosfos Pshat. There's that aspect of the sugya. Then we get into the issue of Nezikin, so you have really, the issue of the ability to claim less than the din, where does that come from? And then you have this issue of, that's the Bainus issue. And then you have this issue of Nisan and Tishrei. And what's Rabba doing by Matnas Aniyim that's now going to carry over to the Stira that we had in the beginning of the Sugya to work out in terms of Bainus and the Edis. This Nisan Tishrei Yesod of Rabba. Like each thing has its own, to be sorted out in its own terms. Yeah,
This question that Tosha Rina Peretz is asking, could one be mad that's what Rashi's addressing on Tanan Madalif and Rashi in Dibra Maslow's Elam or Ryan? Rashi feels the need to mention, he's saying.
Lo meshkachas tirutsa el kedemar, ki hada tirtsa rabbi. Yeah, but Rashi's very vague. Ki hada tirtsa rabbi.
It sounds like that point. He's saying, it's dafka if you hold like rabbi, because you could go through this gemara and walk out saying, it's just about the fact that it gets more expensive in these sense. So he's saying, no, it's like dafka, but there's a story to it too.
Yeah, but Rashi doesn't say much in the way of this story. Mm-hmm. Let's do the following. And since you didn't do the Rain of Paris yet, you did finish the Rashi. So let's at least read the other pshat of Maaser Ani and how Rashi reads the Gemara Shaka V'Tarya, and then we have to come back to this, Rain of Paris and the Tosfos and all that. Let's just read the Lishna Achrina of Rashi. A new pshat in what's going on. And again, with the Tosfos, you have to compare and contrast what you have in Tosfos from what you have in Rashi. Lishna Achrina, Nupshat of the before. Machil Nosa Maisa Ani Ad Nechza Lava Ani Kais. So Rashi's saying different than before. We're not talking about an Ani, that right now he's exactly at hovering at 200 if he would sell it. No. Ella Al Kol Adam Shetzarech Maos Limizonos. A person he needs food. Lamaisa, he has assets. But do we require him to sell the assets to provide his own needs, or do we provide him with food? So he needs money for food. V'hayu l'batim sadu sekramin. He has all these assets. He can't even sell them for half the price. That's the situation. See why in a second. He can't even get half the price. So then what's the halacha? Machilin oso meiser ani. Ach yis yakru karka osof shuchel mokar mechatsi demei. Notice the difference in pshat. Not machilin oso ad nechsa means we give him how much? We give him up to 100. Up to get him to 200. No, nothing about 200. Machilin oso. We give him, what do we give him? We give him his daily needs, his daily rations. Think of the Mishnah in Perek Hey, right? Balabayis of Mokam Lamokam. You give him Dvayom Biyomo. When do you stop feeding him Dvayom Biyomo? When the price goes up that he'll be able to get, what? Half its value. If what he's going to net by selling it is less than half the value, ad nechsa, then what? Then machirinoso. Machirinoso what? What he needs for every day. Mosa, you hear this going on. We're using that Mishnah in Perikei, in Peya, and that's what's going on. It's like a balabai, so makam umakam. Does he get my sir ani? So if he would have to sell it at less than half its value, then he gets my sir ani. Ad nechsa. Until he can get it, until he can get for the sale half its value. Then we stop giving him my sir ani. Got it? Says the Gemara. Now the gears is the same, but the totally different shot now. The Gemara says, wait a second, if everybody's land, as the Gemara goes on, the Gemara says, either whose heart said Koyama and his as well, if everyone's land went down, then I feel Tuva Nami. What does that mean? If everybody's land went down, I feel Matsilis Beninu Tuva Yosemechasidimid, even if he could sell it for more than half its value, Lispule, Achi Yuchalim Kabishav Yeyen. So Rashi learns as follows, you should still give him Isaani, because Nebuch, his land is not netting what it should be getting. Here we get to the Pshia issue. He'd do anything to be faulted. So therefore, just because it's going to get only, he'll get half his value, he's not going to get my sarani? Why not? You want him to sell for half his value? Let's say he could sell for 80% of his value. But Nebuch, it's a fluke. It's all going to go back soon. It's a market that's reversible. It's Makas Medina. Somehow the market hit a snag for the next 2 weeks. You know, everything went down. But not just his. Everything went down. So, like, why should he have to suffer right now to sell it at 20% loss, give him my sur'ani, until it gets cold to the point that he can get what he should get for it? If everyone's land went down, he wasn't Poshea. Then, afilu tuvanami, not tuvanami, give him more my sur'ani. No, tuvanami, even if he can get more than half, he can get, but it's less than its value, he should give him my sur'ani then too. And then the other half is, and let's say everyone's land went up, stayed up, and his land went down. So, afilu portanami. What's the kasha? Porta nami, afilu ein yochel mochron ela porta. Even if he could only sell for a fraction of the cost, less than 50%. Lo isfule. You're saying until he can sell it for 50% of its value, you give my sonny. Why? He's at fault. The posheahu. He's setting himself up that he cannot get what the land should provide for him in assets. Then he shouldn't, it's his problem. Let him sell it anyway. He'll get a fraction of the cost. He'll have his own food. Why do we have to give him food? He's a poshea. Okay. Cheshbinat. Afilu tuvanami. If everyone's land went down, then even if he can get more than 50%, but it's not the full value, give him then too. If it's his fault, then even if he can get less than 50%, porta, very little, but let him sell the land and get money. That's the kasha. Yeah?
It's 50% of 200?
No. We're not talking 200 now. No, it was Magdim. Rashi, second pshat, nothing to do with 200. Second pshat of Rashi. Not talking about an ani. The bottom line is a person has land, an empire. But right now, he can't get the value of that land. So ad nechsa, and he doesn't have food. So the only way we'll get food is if either we give him food or he has to sell the land at a big loss. So we say that if he can get half the value, then we'll, up to that point, until he can get half the value, we'll give him food. Once he gets half the value, we stop giving him food. So Mora asks, Manafshach, if all the lands went down, it's a fluke, it's going to come back, so then we should give him, even if he can't get the full value, even more than half. But it's not the full value, then give him food till he can sell for the full value. If it's only his land that can't get, so then he let him sell it anyway, it's his fault. So he'll get his own food, what do we have to give him food? So Mora answers, Ad palga urche lemezel tfeilo, it's Nisan Tishrei situation. Hilchach im yachal limkar b'chatzi demeyan im achilano somaisa ani. The zedarka. What's considered the norm? It goes down to half. It goes down to half. If he could sell at half, then he sells it for Tishrei's price. Then we don't give him maisa ani. The muskut fei, but it goes down below Tishrei. What should be from Tishrei to Nisan? Machilan below yafsid. Then we give him food because he shouldn't lose that because it went down more than it should have. Whatever is considered reasonable, Nisan to Tishrei's drop, then we don't give him food. But if it goes more than that, then we give him food. False question. Rishon Rashi prefers the first pshat. Say a little something on the parsha. We'll continue this sugya on Sunday.